If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Well, tonight our topic is creating a lifestyle of peace. So, to begin with, we will do a meditation of peaceful awareness. So find a place where you can be sitting upright, peaceful, attentive, relaxed. And take a deep breath. And we invite the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Peace, to clothe us with a peace that bypasses all human reckoning and understanding. I'm seeing it coming in as an intense violet-purple light. We embrace that purple light, which is the energy of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus the Christ. And we ask that the Master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Master alike of teachers and of men, and of angels and of men, and of all of us on the path, no matter which culture or religion we come from, that one that we know as the Anointed One, is the elder brother of all mankind. And so we invite you, beloved Prince of Peace, to teach us how to be people of peace. For long ago on that beautiful hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, you said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be known as the children of God." And we all would be known as the children of God. So we come into your presence, which is peace itself, and liberty, and freedom. Because where the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. And we ask tonight to be supernaturally delivered and set free from any bondage that be holding us in peaceless states. At this time, we speak deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ from addictive patterns. Smoking, alcoholism, drug addiction goes now in the name of Jesus. Sickness, you have no influence in the lives of God's anointed, marked, and appointed children. All pain, all disease leaves now in the name of Jesus. There is no sickness in the kingdom, and we are heirs of the kingdom of God. We come against the spirit of violence and anger, of deep roots of bitterness, rancor, discord, and disharmony. Wherever these have lodged in the consciousness, heart, mind, body, soul, spirit, wherever they are lodged, they go now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Let it all go. This is grace. Go for it. Let it all go. You don't have to understand it or process it. Release it. Let it go. It goes now in that violet, violet, violet flame. We ask the Holy Spirit to seal and block those vacated areas that no more can these spirits of addiction or spirits of any kind of workings of darkness can find lodge. We ask at this time for the tent, the tenting over of all of God's people, with the blessings and the grace and the freedom and the deliverance from every torment. Spirit of fear, we come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast you out wherever you have lurked with your gray depression, your abysmal despair, your tauntings and suggestions of suicide. We come against you, we bind you, we cast you out of every single person that is listening through the authority and power of Jesus the Christ, through the agency of his Holy Spirit. Be gone. And we seal the inheritors of righteousness, all of the people of God. Accept your freedom, beloved. You are marked for the greatest destiny that could ever befall a being. You have every right and authority to stand absolutely peaceful, content, whole, free, joyous, centered in your divinity, and walk shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, your elder brother, and all of the 144,000 of the office of the Christ who minister as ascended masters. You have every right to walk shoulder and shoulder with Buddha and Krishna and Rama and Archangel Michael and Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene and every saint, Ramakrishna and all of the Eastern saints, all of the Western saints, all of the Islamic saints, all of the saints forward and backward in time, walking shoulder to shoulder, side by side, to establish the peace of God on this world and henceforth into worlds yet to be born. We are the children of God, the purveyors of God's divine peace, living tributaries of grace. We are dispensational inserts of supernal love and the most precious of all treasures, the presence of the Prince of Peace, indwelling, infilling, infusing and empowering us. The Spirit of Peace speaks through our mouth, hears through our ears, sees through our eyes, works through our hands, ministering, soothing, reconciling, delivering, touching in your name, setting the captives free in your name, Lord, for you anointed, appointed, and deputized us to be your visible body and presence in this world. And Lord, we accept. We accept now is our hour, now is the time that the world has been in travail awaiting for our emergence. We are emerged, and we stand forth as a mighty vanguard of the most wondrous of possibilities. We set the pace so that our younger brothers and sisters can fall in stride and know the confidence of following a leadership, a vanguard, a movement, cross-culturally, cross-dimensionally, cross-disciplinary-wise, all cultures, all religions, all tribes, all peoples, even into the universe. We form one family of light under one God, who is known by a variety of names, whose praises are sung in a variety of tongues and tonalities and tunes and methodologies. But God is one, and we are the people of God, the children of God, the peacemakers, the living bridges that take all disparity and bridge it into unification, wholeness, and one accord. We accept that anointing now. As many as will receive now, the Holy Spirit is anointing you now. If you want the gift of healing, receive it now. If you want the gift of eloquent speech so as to turn man's hearts Godward, receive it now. If you want to be delivered from anything in your life that we haven't already dealt with, speak it now. Speak your freedom now in the name of Jesus. Speak it. He promised to set the captives free. He came to set the captives free. That was his mission. That was his assignment from heaven. Go forth in his name and do likewise. Set people free. For where there is freedom, there is peace. And the cry of every human soul is to be free. Tonight we step free from all patterns that have limited us. We step free from fear, the father of every form of negation, negativity, and limitation. The father of lies is the devil. We cast him out of our minds, our lives, our children, our homes, our speech, our thoughts, and every other place where that blackness would try to lodge. And we fill it with glorious illumination. The light of the Christ fills and dissolves and just shines away all darkness, which goes now under the anointing and authority that we, the sons and daughters of God, carry through the lineage and dispensation of the Christ. Take a deep breath. Feel the golden white Christ light fill you now from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And as many as will receive, ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fill you with that victory, bondage-breaking power, that resurrection power, that same miracle-working power, that healing power, that speaking power that flowed through Jesus Christ, flows through as many of you as will receive it now and step free through grace. Now is your hour, and you have heard the call. We give glory and honor and praise to the Father of lights, to the Mother of love, to the brothers and sisters that form the collective Messiah of Christ and souls. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. The anointing is very, very, very heavy tonight. I'm trembling and goosebumps from head to toe under it. And there's fire, liquid fire going through my veins. The power of peace is intense. There is no power greater than peace. There is no healing greater than peace. There is no transformative effect greater than peace. Our planet, our world, our civilization, our culture, our nations, the very universe itself is being transformed through peace. It is a gift of grace. It is a gift being bestowed that we but need to make room for it. We but need to make room for it. It's just that simple. And so, as we look at our topic tonight, I would like to take us into a yogic perception here tonight. Yoga comes from the root verb yug, which means to be yoked or in union with God in this case. There are many, many forms of yoga. But yoga as a way of life, as a practice, is one way that you can begin to create a lifestyle that exemplifies peace. As many of you know, I've spent many, many years traveling around the world, and I spent a lot of time in India. And I'd like to speak a little bit about the different approaches, East and West, and so that we can find a middle ground between them, because in the middle path we find that path of divine vairagya, or supreme awareness and detachment, that enables us to walk free of the pairs of opposites which tend to polarize and separate. The major difference between the East and the West in terms of spiritual practice is that the Eastern approach tends to be one more inner and passive in its approach, whereas the Western tends to be more outer and more active. The Eastern culture is old, at least 10,000 years old in our recording of the scriptures of the East, and therefore it's patient. It has a belief in having many lifetimes that can make you patient. The West, however, is young. We were running around, or at least those of us that were in Western bodies, I wasn't, but those of you that were running around pretty primitive when the East was a very advanced culture. So let's be a little humble before our elder brethren who indeed have much to share with us. The Chinese culture, the Indian culture, the culture of Iran and Iraq and the Middle East has a great deal to teach us. And the culture of India in particular is the great granddaddy of all, or grandmother as the case may be, of all spiritual paths. So let us humbly learn of good things wherever these good things can be found without discrimination or prejudice. So the West is young and impatient, and it believes in one life. And in between, there is a blending of the best of both approaches, and in that we would find a perfect balance. Now, originally, there was no dichotomy between East and West. There was simply a continuity of revelation and a succession of teachers and sages and prophets and saints that all studied in the various mystery schools. There were Chaldean mystery schools, Hebraic mystery schools, Egyptian mystery schools, Grecian mystery schools, Vedic mystery schools, Essene mystery schools, on and on and on and on, all different kinds of mystery schools, and the initiates and chelas went back and forth between all of the master teachers. We all studied with Jesus, we all studied with Buddha, we all studied with the Essenes, we all studied with Zadok, we all studied with Maitreya, we all studied with all of the different people who were on the path at that time, and teachers. We've all been under the same teachers, the same more or less lineages and paths, every single one of us. We are forming a huge graduation of souls that have been along the same pathway in life after life, with minor variations on a major theme here. So the dichotomy began, I think, with the burning of the Alexandrian Library, which destroyed, as I've said before, over 70,000 irreplaceable manuscripts that would have proven the continuity of revelation and the oneness of source for all religious disciplines. So subsequent invasions of various groups destroyed each other's ancient writings and icons. Just about everywhere you go in the world, you'll find that somebody has tried to eradicate the names of various ones or the icons and religious symbols of various ones. And that's a crime against humanity, because to lose our past, we lose a sense of our presence, and we lose a sense of where we're headed as a people in our future. So understanding the past and the scriptures of the past is very, very important to get a sense and a continuity of who we are and what we are and where we're going. So the belief here in the West that we have only one lifetime gives rise to many problems, because if you think you have to squeeze it all into a 40 and 10 lifestyle, or excuse me, lifetime, which is, you know, short, that's what, 70 years, or, you know, give or take another 10 or 20, this gives rise to a kind of desperation to get it all packed into that short period of time. It gives rise to greed, gives rise to envy and jealousy, because why do some people get born with a silver spoon in their mouth and everything around them, and other people are born, you know, with virtually nothing, or die, you know, soon after they're born. So obviously, that would not be a just way for life to be set up. So it's not set up that way, fortunately. But the belief that it's set up that way gives rise to many, many problems that we see in our West, which is hurry, 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 let's pack it all in, let's get ours at the expense of whomever and whatever. Whereas the belief in many lifetimes can also lead to neglect of the outer environment and a certain apathy. It's like, oh, well, that's just my karma. Oh, well, it's kind of like the, oh, well, which isn't exactly proactive and empowered either. The West believes that you die and that's it. They're not really sure where you go after you die. Or the religions will teach you go to heaven or hell. And some religions teach that there's a temporary hell called purgatory, which isn't a very joyful prospect when you think about it. It's kind of scary. So death is greatly feared in the West. The East regards death as a very natural, normal cycle of life. It's no biggie for them. The East and the West both believe in karma. The East simply call it karma, and the West calls it the law of cause and effect. So actually, we have a lot more in common with each other than we realize. In terms of God, believe it or not, there are not many gods in India. There is only one God called Paramatma or Brahman. But they believe in the East in India that the one God has innumerable potencies or energies or aspects or manifested embodiments. In other words, heads and hands, feet everywhere, they say of Lord Vishnu. So that misunderstanding of that makes people think that there's polytheism in India. But in truth, that's when you really, really study the teachings, which I have, that's really not true. They have a greater understanding of God internal and God external, and the West has more of a focus on God external. They don't actually understand that the God that's external is also living in you as you internally, and that there is an inner and an outer aspect to God. So that's a big difference in the East and the West. The West believes in one God with only three aspects, depending on your denomination. There are some denominations that believe only in one of those aspects as opposed to another. But basically, there's the three aspects, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you really study your scriptures, you realize that it's Father, Mother, God, for the simple reason that Elohim in the beginning said, let us create man after our own image and likeness. Male and female created he them. Actually, it's a plural, but for the sake of our show, we'll just quote it the way it was in the Bible. So you see right here that if we're created after the image and likeness of Elohim, we're created male and female after their likeness, which means then that they are both male and female. Or as I like to say, they're she, he's, and he, she's. Because the 24 elders have those dual aspects. One will be representing more of the male aspect, and the others will be representing more of the female aspect, but they can shift back and forth in the polarity because we're talking in terms of energy here, not gender per se. So there again, wouldn't it be great if we could learn from each other? Overall, I'd have to say that the East has it beat by a long shot when it comes to terms in overall peace and contentment, even though they have, many cases. My gosh, if you travel the world like I have, you'll find that most people live in abject poverty and squalor, really, compared to what we have. I remember coming back from India after my first trip, and my husband and I were living in a modest two-bedroom apartment with our daughter, and I kept walking around the apartment and looking and saying, wow, this is huge. I never realized our apartment was so huge. I was thinking, boy, they could have fit 25 Indian families in this apartment and had room to spare. And it was, modest, a modest-sized apartment. And then I thought, the only difference between lifestyles in the East and the West is the toilet, the bed, and the cooking arrangement. That's it. That's it. But in terms of quality of life, we all need and want and desire the same thing. But first and foremost, I would say universally, more than anything, we all want peace. Peace of mind, peace in our family, peace with our children, peace with our spouses, peace with our lot in life. It's all about peace when you strip it of everything else. So we in the West have physical comfort and social and environmental systems down really, really good. We've perfected that. We've got efficiency down to a workable formula, but most of us are stressed out to the max. We have the highest preponderance of stress-related diseases here in America, the greatest percentage of overweight people. We don't rank the highest in suicide. That actually, that distinction is with a country that has been atheistic primarily. I won't name the country because it's not polite. But the country that has prided itself with being very liberal and very atheistic has the highest level of suicide in the world, which is, I think, noteworthy. So, then what do you have as a blend? Well, most likely the New Age represents the closest blend between the East and the West. However, you got another dichotomy here. Many Christians regard the New Age as delusional and demonic. Not good. And the New Agers usually have quite a an attitude of rejection of Christianity as judgmental and archaic. And they both have their points, now, don't they? So only the truly awakened and enlightened have no argument with any of it because they can see from the bigger picture and they're enlightened. And enlightened people never argue about God or Scripture. That's the first sign you can see of someone who doesn't know the truth, is they start arguing and debating little things like that. Where in highest truth, God is one, truth is one, and those that know the truth, whether they're East or West or upside down or inside out, they all agree God is wonderful. God is good. In fact, the original, there was no such word as good. There was only God. That's why often you'll hear me say God morning or God evening, because originally that was the meaning, and it later on became goodbye and you know, different greetings. But it used to be God betaye. Instead of goodbye, it was God betaye. In other words, God be with you. So, you know, we've kind of inched God out or edged God out, as Wayne Dyer would say. That's the definition of ego, to edge God out. So we have egoed and elbowed God out of our place as much as we possibly can here in the West with our cleverness, so-called, and intellect, and we have suffered because of it. And one of the major plagues on the planet today, and especially in the West, is stress. Stress and fear and dread and panic attacks. So we're going to be looking at a few ways that we can circumvent this tendency that has infected us. The word in India for peace, highest peace, is called prashanti, which means all-pervasive, ever-expanding peace. So peace has an expansive quality. It's something that it spreads in concentric rings. You know, if you've ever seen the aura of a cat, a purring cat, a picture of relaxation and contentment, you'll find little concentric rings emanating from that cat as the sound of the purring goes forth. And likewise, when we're centered in the Lord, in that kitten devotion, that Prapati devotion I spoke of some shows back, when you're a kitten at the feet of the Lord, belly up, surrendered, yielded, have your way with me, Lord, when you're in that state, concentric, auric, resonating rings of peace expand from you. And it begins to spread in your home and to the people you share life with, and to your neighborhood,
and to everything. It expands. This is how peace is going to come on our planet and transform our culture. One peaceful being at a time. One peaceful choice at a time. Because peace is a choice. And at any moment when you're given a choice, you can always choose peace instead of seeing whatever is of conflict. If we realized how important peace is, we would never allow ourselves the luxury of a negative thought. You know, strife, it says in the Bible that strife opens the door to confusion in every evil work. It's from the Gospel of James. Strife opens the door for the dark forces to mess with you. Strife is any againstness you have towards yourself or another, or ranting against anything, grumbling and murmuring and complaining and kvetching. All of that discord very successfully puts the lid on your peace, very successfully closes you off from higher access. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will never come in to a place where there's strife. That's why the dark ones try by every means that they possibly can to drive a wedge between harmonious relationships. To destroy a family, they start the husband and a wife with a grudge between them that they don't confront and pray about. They don't release it. They don't forgive it. They don't deal with it. They just, it's like the hippo in the corner, they just go about their life and ignore it until it grows and grows and grows and destroys their marriage. Same thing between strife between parents and their children. It grows until it just destroys that relationship. And so that's the purpose, to drive wedges in people's lives by the devil so that people can't be anointed with the power of the living God. So they can't see clearly. They can't hear clearly. They have this dark kind of energy that comes down. My little granddaughter is clairvoyant. And when people would come into our home or she would see people that were in a bad mood, she'd say they have black clouds around their heads. They're not in their right mind. She was about 4 or 5 years old. She said, that one has a black cloud around their head. They're not in their right mind. And she'd watch sometimes my co-worker, Solario, working with people in her healing practice. And she'd say, Solario, when she works with people, she takes the black clouds off of them. So the healing work is really, really about removing those dark clouds that have kept us from experiencing the peace, the healing, and the wholeness of our divinity. And guard yourself, beloveds, against strife. Just put an end cycle on saying bad words about anyone or anything. It's none of your business. It's none of your business. Who does what? Your business is to guard your heart, guard your thoughts, guard your mind, guard your character, guard your words. Be a guardian, on the a watchman on the wall of your own citadel of peace. And don't let any dark agencies in. And they will come in through division, discord, disharmony, strife, and grievance. Do not allow these things to infect you, because they're more deadly than your worst diseases. And strife is the doorway also for disease to enter your life. Notice how quickly after you've had an argument or become confused, you get a cold. Notice how quickly when you've gone into a negative, fearful, or agitated state, you get a flu. As I said before, those are astral diseases that come from strife and worry and negative thoughts and concern and belief in lack and limitation. That's why people are, you know, sick right and left around you. They're not centered in the peace of God. So tonight you have been anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight you've been set free of many, many addictive patterns. Many of you from this show on will not smoke again. Many of you will not touch another drop of alcohol. Many of you will be delivered and you will have an absolute abhorrence to taking any kind of drugs. Many of you will go forth and your eating disorders will be gone. or your diseases will be in remission or just completely vanish out of your body. The tumors are gone. The migraines are gone. The pains in your body, the whatevers, they're gone. Do you know that nothing that is not perfect and loving and joyous can stay in the presence of the Lord? If you want all of that to leave your life, keep company with the Lord. I mean it. Keep company in thought, in word, in deed. Begin to have your conversations where you share miracles instead of gossip and slander and negative speech, which give an open invitation to the dark forces to enter your life. Instead of that, why not sit down and say, what has the Lord done in your life lately? Let me tell you the miracle that the Lord did for me the other day. Let me tell you the good news. Wow, you know what God did in my life? Wow, I can hardly wait when people say that to me. I get so excited because so often people just want to complain about what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with the president, what's wrong with the life. You don't hear people praising and giving glory to God. And the most wonderful miracles go unrecorded and unrecognized simply because people have their heads in grievance. They have their heads in the devil's department instead of in the company of the angels and the masters. So here are 10 things we could do to begin to experience more peace in our life. First and foremost, commit your life, heart, mind, body, soul, to God, to the Lord. Ask Him to guide you, guard you, protect you, and direct you. Second, ask, before you engage in any activity, ask that if it's not for your highest good, it be deflected away from you. If it is for your highest good, that it be magnified and illumined so that you can see it and that you be given signs to confirm that that is the way that you are to proceed. Signs and confirmation can be a sense of inner peace, a sense of enthusiasm and joy that rises up within you, certain energy around your heart that's like, oh yeah, yeah. Go with that. The things that feel kind of flat, don't go with that. When in doubt, don't do. When in doubt, check it out. And foresee. Begin to sit down and meditate the steps you want to take. Think them through. Meditate them through. That's a sign of a profound person, is to foresee the effects of their actions before they engage in those actions. So don't just be impulsive and compulsive. Just begin to get the reins of your life and hold yourself in check and direct your life proactively where you want it to go. Create a lifestyle. Don't live at random. Find time to exercise and time to pray and time to meditate and time to do what you need to do to keep centered, cleared, balanced, and aligned and on purpose spiritually. You'll find everything in your life will fall into order if you keep first priority God and base your life with God in the center, with Jesus Christ in the center. Have a Christocentric life, and you don't have to worry about a thing. Everything will be ordered according to what works together for your highest good. You can absolutely trust that. So every day sit quietly with the Lord. I am very much against anything that is ritualistic. I think the more natural and spontaneous we are in a relationship with the Lord, the more vibrant it's going to be. So it's not about so much time. It isn't about all of that. You know, if you repeated the name of the Lord once with all your heart and all your love and all your devotion, that would be worth thousands of repetitions that are done like a parrot automatically. One prayer from your heart uttered with absolute sincerity is worth all of those prayers that you find in prayer books written by rote. Let your prayer be your heart. Pray your heart. Pray your feelings. Pray your true, true sense of what is for you in that moment. Be real. Be real with God. And you'll find God will really be real with you. Oh, beloveds, live with the Lord. What can I tell you? Live. live with the Lord. Find a way to have tea with God every day, or coffee, or whatever. But keep company. Find ways to keep company. I used to take the Lord with me, and sometimes I'd pretend like he's a little boy, and I'd take him, I used to take him to see the Goodyear blimp here in Los Angeles. They have the Goodyear blimp, which gave me great delight, and I figured it would give the child, the Lord in the form of a child, delight too. So I would put little baby Jesus or little baby Sai Baba sitting on the chair next to me, and we'd go see the Goodyear blimp. Or we'd do all sorts of little things together. Oh, today we're going to go to the zoo. Today we're going to do this. Today we're going to do that. And I just brought the Lord with me wherever I went. It's such a sweet practice, and it makes that relationship come alive for you. So then also begin to note the stressors in your life and stop doing them. You have to ask yourself, when something really stresses you out, am I meant to do this? Is this something that God has directed me to do? I will promise you, if it brings you disharmony and distress and upset and stresses you out to the max, that is feedback from Almighty God that you are not supposed to do that. Because things that you're anointed to do come easily to you. They flow, I've often said, it's like a little duck finding a puddle of water. It just naturally swims. It doesn't have to be taught. It's no biggie. It's no stress. It's the nature of the duck. So find your true spiritual nature and be real with it. Be honest with it. Be true with it. Everybody has a different way to connect, a different way to walk with the Lord. Find yours. There's no one way that has to be for everyone. Well, yeah, there is. There's one way to God, and that way is love. God is love. And every other path is something that is going to give us a payoff. So, I hope you can hear me. I just heard a loud disconnect sound. Hello? That's interesting. Well, anyway, I'm going to keep going as if I'm on the air, and I hope I am. So, note the stressors, and if it brings you down, just end cycle on that. Just note, oh, this doesn't work for me. This is obviously not something that I'm supposed to do, so I'm not going to do it. You'll find that if you make a list of the things you don't have to be concerned about, you don't have to do, you don't have to worry about, and you don't have to think about in this moment. Is it present right now? Do you have to think about it right now? And you'll find, no, you don't. And when you do, you will have the equipment to handle whatever it is that you need to handle, to do whatever it is you need to do. So these are really, really simple things that we can all begin to practice. And in that, you will find that you're beginning to come into a greater and greater measure of peace. So releasing things that are not your business is really important. You'll also notice that certain things may push past life triggers and psychic responses that tend to be unconscious, but very unpleasant. Sometimes certain foods, certain music, certain scenes, certain sounds, certain things will come upon you which reflect bad memories from the past. Ask at that moment that the Holy Spirit heal you from past memories. Ask for the healing of memories. And say, I unconditionally forgive and release anyone who has wounded me in the past and anyone that I have wounded in the past. And I set myself free through grace. That's very important, because then you're not going to be having things push you that you haven't confronted. We need to confront peacelessness in our life as if we were facing a ravening lion that was going to tear us apart. We can't ignore it. It can't be the hippo in the corner. We have to have the spiritual courage to confront and face our lives, our fears, and everything. And you'll find that fear cannot stay where you have information. If you're afraid of something, get a book about it and read everything you can on it until you understand how it operates. I guarantee you the fear will leave. People are so afraid of death. Why in the world don't they pick up some book on near-death experiences or from a really enlightened person and realize what death is. They say that's the greatest fear that mankind has, is dying. And yet we've all died bazillions of times. And here we are. And we're all going to die again. So what's the biggie? It's as normal as breathing. We all breathe. We all get born. We all die. I mean, so what? It's part of life. So there's no reason to fear something that is so natural. But it's fearful only when we're totally ignorant. We have not had the courage to examine, to research, to study, to ask the Lord to reveal to us the truth. And I'll tell you, if you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, He has promised everyone who's received Him that the minute you die, you are face to face with Him the next second. And He will take you to the Father. He will take you to the highest God realms of heaven. And the scripture said that He and He alone is the only one that came from the very highest throne worlds of heaven. So who better to take you back to the very highest throne worlds of heaven than Jesus, your elder brother? So cozy up to Him. Hang tight with Him. Stay in His presence. Keep really close company with Him. And then you don't have to be afraid to live or to die. Because if you live, you're going to be with Him. If you die, you're going to be with Him. But one thing is for sure, you know where you're going when you die. That is absolute truth. So why vacillate and not know? Why be uncertain? You got to be certain. We're living in a world where you got to be certain who you follow. What's your life about? Who do you serve? And your life is going to give evidence of who you serve in a nanosecond. And if you're a person and a child of God, you're going to show that by your behavior, by your lifestyle, by your choices. But more than anything else, the presence of love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and generosity and charity and tolerance. These are the things that are going to be showing up big time in your life. Your forgiveness, your embracement, your open-hearted goodwill, but more than anything else, your love and your peace. Peace without the Lord is impossible. It cannot be gotten any other way but supernaturally. It's like righteousness. It is said that inner peace is the heritage of the righteous. Well, who are the righteous? Well, the scriptures say that no one is righteous. Therefore, one came to make us all righteous, and that was our elder brother Jesus. So righteousness was given to us through His obliterating all of the effects of the fall. When He went to the cross of Calvary, He completely washed out and blotted out all of the effects of the fall upon our spirits, our inner man. And therefore, from that moment on, we put on His righteousness, because it only takes one to give it and make it available for all. So we come under the righteousness of Christ. You can never be righteous out of your own actions. That leads to pride and arrogance and, holier than thou, holy man's disease, if you will. But real righteousness is putting on Christ. It's taking that gift of salvation and wearing it as a mantle. It is putting on that love, that anointing, putting on that image, putting on that persona that is the very model of our right relationship with God, with Source. And so we're righteous by what Jesus has done for us, not by anything we could do on our own. And as we walk in that righteousness and live in right usedness with all life, or Dharma as it's called in the East, as we live a Dharmic life, which is living inside out, letting your spirit walk as you in the world. When you walk as a spirit-filled person, you are righteous, And inner peace is your inheritance. It's your heritage. And then you don't notice what's going on around you. To the contrary, your eyes are so single on the Lord that peace is all you see, all you experience. As long as you keep your mind and your thoughts and your attention and your focus on being a disciple of the Lord, you will have perfect peace. For God keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is focused on him, because he trusts in him. So let us be a man and a woman who trusts in him completely. We are in a time in our life where God is delivering us supernaturally into a golden age. Before that happens, a lot of stuff's going to happen on the physical plane, and is happening as we speak, and will still happen for another year or two, maybe a little longer. So it may get darker before it gets brighter, and it may get worse before it gets better. But for the people of God, we are lifted supernaturally to another level of awareness and consciousness. And only from a distance do we see the things that are happening on the world. The things that are part of the chastisement and the clearing and the cleansing and the shaking up that needs to get people's attention. So we don't have to be part of that. And to the extent that we live in God, in that citadel of inner peace, to that extent are we lifted out of the world in what is called soul transcendence. We transcend in our soul awareness to that higher level. And we become a yogi, a yogini, one who is in union, yoked with the Lord. And we develop that peaceful lifestyle. If a yogic lifestyle works for you, beautiful. It's a beautiful model. Whatever your model is, create your home like a temple, like an ashram, like a place where there's a chair for the Lord, and a place where you sit with the Lord, and a place where you fellowship with the Lord. That special little corner, that little altar that you create, whatever it is, that's your place that you spend with the Lord. Could be an armchair or a lounger, whatever. But you sit there and you commune with the Lord every day before you get involved with people and things and situations and jobs and whatever. Ask him what to do with your money and to show you ways to manage your finances so that you don't have stress at this time. The world has stress, but we are not part of the world. We have been marked and called out of the world. To live in the world, but to not be of it. To not believe in its lack and limitation. To not enter into its controversy and its discord and strife. We are called to be people that live at a higher level. And we are the vanguard that God will use to lead the ascension waves. As we move into these higher dimensional overlays, we are the ones that are the leaders that will be part of that. We are the angels of the Lord, if you want to think of it that way. We are the celestial hosts. All religions, I don't care where they came onto the earth, is part of the culture, are extraterrestrial in origin. All religions have an extraterrestrial off-planet origin. All the forms of God, all of the avatars of God, all of those beings have an off-planet origin, every one of them. And we, at this point, there's every man, woman, child on the planet has an extraterrestrial origin at this point. We've all come to Earth from someplace else. We have the genealogy and the gene pool of countless races in the cosmos. We are cosmic people living temporarily on this planet for the purpose of inaugurating it into the Confederation of United and Peaceful Worlds. That's what we're here to do. So let's be people of peace. Let's be children of God. Let's be a vanguard of peace. And let's lead people in the ways of peace. Let's demonstrate peace. And let's extricate ourselves from every conflict and embroilment to the contrary. Let's see, what will we chant tonight? Let's do Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai. God evening, and God be with all of you. Adonai.